بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد وذي فضل الكرم of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. We will discuss today inshallah a very beautiful hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in which there are very important and valuable advices and practices that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم has taught us to follow. عن أبي جابر بن سليم رضي الله تعالى عنه قال رأيت رجلا يصدر الناس عن رأيه لا يقول شيئا إلا صدروا عنه قلت من هذا قالوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. حضرت جابر بن سليم رضي الله عنه says that I saw a person, a man whom people were coming and asking him questions, asking him masalas, and then they would disperse and depart after having taken his advice and guidance. So I asked, who is this person? So the people said, this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُلْتُ عَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَرَّتَيْنِ. So he said, I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is my first encounter with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I went there and I said, عليك السلام, upon you be peace, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I said it twice. قال لا تقول عليك السلام. Rasul said, don't say عليك السلام. فإن عليك السلام تحية الميت, because this is the way of greeting the dead people, those who are deceased. قل السلام عليك. Inshallah, we'll discuss all this in detail. قال قلت أنت رسول الله. So I asked, are you the Messenger of Allah? قال أنا رسول الله الذي إذا أصابك ضر فدعوته كشفه عنك. I am the Rasul of that Allah whom if any harm befalls you and you make dua to him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being, that that who will remove that bala from you. وإذا أصابك عام سنة فدعوته أنبتها لك. And if drought strikes you and you make dua to that Zat, that being who is Allah, then He will cause crops to grow for you, of course, after sending down rain. وَإِذَا كُنْتَ بِأَرْضٍ قَفْرٍ أَوْ فَلَاتٍ فَضَّلَّتْ رَاحِلَتُكَ فَدَعُوتَهُ رَدَّهَا عَلَيْكَ. And if you in some barren land, and if your animal, your conveyance gets lost, and you make dua to that being who is Allah, then He will definitely give you back your conveyance. قَالَ قُلْتُ إِعْهَدْ إِلَيَّ. So I said, give me some advices. قَالَ لَا تَسُبَّنَّ أَحَدًا. Rasulullah said, don't swear any person. قَالَ فَمَا سَبَبْتُ بَعْدَهُ حُرًّا وَلَا عَبْدًا وَلَا بَعِيرًا وَلَا شَاتًا. He said, after Rasulullah gave me this advice, I did not swear any person, be he a free person or a slave, not even an animal, not even a camel, not even a sheep or a goat. And then Rasulullah gave him advices. Inshallah, we'll discuss all these advices. A lengthy hadith. So Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib says, this is a lengthy hadith which has been recited to you. Not only the meanings, to the meanings of this blessed hadith contain light, but the words also contain light. It is therefore a source of blessings and virtue to mention and recite this hadith and listen to the hadith. And therefore, I mentioned to you part of this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, this is the first contact of a Sahabi with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he accepted Islam before that, most probably, and now he is meeting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the first time. Remember, da'wat was given to Sahaba, they passed it on to others. So in many instances, a person accepted Islam. For example, Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala, he was in Makkah, young Sahabi. Rasulullah sends him to Medina Munawwara before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself could go to Medina. And he tells him to go there and give the people da'wat. So he gave them the da'wat of Islam. They accepted Islam, many of them, prior to even seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this happened, probably the Sahabi, like this. He had embraced Islam already. And now this is the first time he is coming into contact with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Jabir bin Sulaim radiallahu ta'ala has given an account of his first contact with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at a time when he did not even recognize Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore he asked the people, who is this? So the Sahaba said, this is Rasulullah. And he said, I saw A person to whom people turned in every matter. People came and asked him mashwara, asked him advices. They consulted him in every problem of this. The people became convinced of the truth of his replies. When I came to know that he was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I told myself that I need to meet him. And so I went forward and I greeted him with these words which you mentioned, Alayka salamu ya Rasulullah. He said, I uttered these words twice. And Rasulullah said, no, don't say Alayka salam, but say Assalamu alayka. Because the words Alayka salam are meant to salute the dead. Of course, people at that time in Jahiliyyah would go to the grave and the person who was dead, then they would sing eulogies and they would sing some praises for the dead person and they would address that person and they would praise him with all the good feats that he had done in the world. So when they would greet him, they would say these words, Alayka salam, and they would say some couplets, whatever it was. So Rasulullah said, this is the manner in which the dead person is addressed. But for living people, we say As-salam first. As-salamu alayka. In other words, for saluting the dead, the word alayka comes first. But when you make salam to living people, you say As-salam first. So this hadith means that to initiate salam, one should say As-salamu alaykum. The hadith teaches us that to respond to salam, when you person makes salam to us, that we must say Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Of course, this is another lengthy explanation. One sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, As-salamu alaykum. Or he just says, As-salamu alaykum. Next one comes, Rasulullah said 10. Next person comes, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Rasulullah says 20. Third one says, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Rasulullah said 30. Somebody asked, Ya Rasulullah, what does it mean? It's the first person when he says, As-salamu alaykum. He only used this word till Assalamu alaykum. So he gets 10 sawab. The second person increased. He said, Wa rahmatullahi as well. So he gets another 10 sawab. So he gets 20. And the third person said, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So he gets 30 sawab. So this is the correct way or this is the best way. Yes, if a person says Assalamu alaykum, you say Wa alaykum assalam, then you have made salam, you have fulfilled the obligation of giving Jawab. Remember, there are rights a Muslim has over another Muslim, and we discussed this in the month of Ramadan in one of the After Fajr programs. And the first one was Raddu Salam. When somebody makes salam to you, then you have to give Jawab. You have to make salam to him. So when you give salam, either you give salam, the same words that he greeted you with. For example, he says Assalamu alaikum, you say Wa alaikum assalam. But it is better to say Wa rahmatullahi, or even better, Wa barakatuh. So if anyone responds to the word Assalamu alaikum by repeating the same words, the reply will be alright. But the response prescribed in the sunnah is, so in other words, another point Mufti Taqi Sahib is saying, somebody tells you Assalamu alaikum. And you don't say Wa alaikum assalam, you say Assalamu alaikum as well. Common also. So somebody greets us, he says Assalamu alaikum. And instead of saying Wa alaikum assalam, only thing you're adding is a wow. So if person omits the waw and he says Assalamu alaikum, he says, then by repeating the same words, the reply would be alright, but the response prescribed in the sunnah is Wa alaikum assalam. Nowadays it has become a common habit to respond to repeating the same word, Assalamu alaikum, you say Assalamu alaikum. This is against the sunnah. Or this is not the true spirit of sunnah. This is not what Rasulullah has taught us. What we should be doing is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. And we heard Mufti Kamaluddin mentioning the other night, somebody says, it's only a sunnah. It's not only a sunnah, it is a way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the person who truly loves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the sunnah will be absolutely valuable for him. It will be precious. And he will want to do exactly what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taught him. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar, of course we're mentioning these things, these extra points, which hasn't been mentioned in the kitab. But Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala was one particular sahabi who tried to emulate every single habit and way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every single sunnah. So it means he observed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very closely. And he watched every single action of his to such an extent that he's traveling on Hajj and he's going with the other companions, والتابعين. And suddenly he goes to one place, he stops. He pretends to relieve himself. He had no need to relieve himself. He sits down for a little while. He wakes up. People ask him, what are you doing? He said, no. When I traveled with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam previously, when he went for Hajj or on this journey, then this was the spot where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam relieved himself. And even though I had no urge, but because he stopped and he relieved himself, I also stopped at the same place and I made as though I had to relieve myself. He said, they continued the journey. And there was no tree, there was no branch on the way as an obstacle. As they're riding, suddenly he bends as though he is avoiding a branch of a tree and he comes out the other side. Sahaba asks again, what are you doing? He said, no, this is the same spot where there was a tree when Rasulullah was traveling, and because the branch was on the way, Rasulullah lowered his head and went under the tree, under the branch. So to this extent, he followed the sunnah of Rasulullah. So when a person says, Assalamu alaikum, we should say, Wa alaikum assalam, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He said, it is essential, wajib, for both to make a response. Two men meet and greet each other simultaneously. It happens a lot. With the words, Assalamu alaikum. Both say, Assalamu alaikum, together. In such a situation, it is essential for both to respond to the salam with the words, Wa alaikum assalam. So both meet salam together. So both should say, Wa alaikum assalam. What is the meaning of Assalamu alaikum? You see, peace be upon you. It means that you are safe. You are safe from all my evils. You are not going to be harmed by me. You're telling the person, may peace be upon you. Salam upon you. I'm not going to harm you. You can rest assured, you're not going to get any harm from my side. So if somebody tells the other person and gives him assurance that he is not going to harm him, so Sharia teaches us that you also tell him, Wa alaikum assalam, and I also won't harm you. I give you my guarantee that it's peace upon you also. Now imagine, these are the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we make salam to the person, and after that we either swearing him, or hitting him, or shouting at him. So where is the teachings of Sharia? How are we implementing these things? We make assalamu alaikum, and now he, because you are telling him, you're giving him a dua, you're telling him you are safe from me, so he says, Wa alaikum assalam. And then he adds, Wa rahmatullah, and Allah's mercy, Wa barakatuh, and Allah's blessings. So when two people make salam simultaneously, both you say, Wa alaikum assalam. The words of the hadith are also important in the Sharia. And this is what we try to explain now. That the exact words that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used, these are the words that we should learn, and these are the words that we should bring in our lives. This hadith points out another basic fact of which the people are not aware. It is that the words and phrases of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as taught by Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are also important, as are their meanings and spirit. Just see, the words Assalamu alaikum and Wa alaikum assalam both mean one and the same thing. Peace be upon you. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the Sahabi's first contact with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasul already taught him the manner in which to make salam. And he said, say, Wa alaikum assalam. So this is a sunnah way. Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do so? This was to clarify that it is no sharia at all to have one's own way. When we're following the sharia, you don't just bring your own way, your own method. You follow what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught you, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught. That is sharia. What is the meaning of sharia? We see the sharia says, now who is sharia? Shari'atun, sharia, with the ayn actually. Sharia is Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What they have instructed us to do. This is what you call sharia. Nowadays people are heard saying that it is the spirit of the sharia that really matters. And we should not hanker after the words. Don't worry about the words. It's the spirit of the sharia. We fail to understand how they are able to get at this spirit. The spirit as well as the words, the letters, both have the importance. So instead of saying assalamu alaikum, what do people say? Salamati ho tum par in Urdu, or many other expressions of salam. No, we should Very common. People say ma'assalama. Especially the youth. So we say assalamu alaykum. This is the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salam is a symbol of the Muslims by means of which they are distinguished from non-Muslims. Dr. Taqi Saab says, Damat Barakatum, once I happened to visit China, where a large number of Muslims live. As we did not understand one another's languages, it was not possible to express our feelings and emotions to one another. However, one thing was common between us, and that was the words of salam. Whenever I met a Muslim, he greeted me with the word, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And with these words, he expressed his emotions. This is the blessings of following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This sunnah has welded together the entire Muslim community and has become a means of contact among them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith, Afshu salam. Afshu salam. Spread salam. That was the first instruction he had given, or among the very initial instructions to the people of Medina. Afshu salam. Make salam common. Thus the light, the nur, and the blessings of these words are not available in any other words. Nowadays it has become a fashion to greet one another with the words like salami masnoon, whatever. You must remember that these words do not bring you the light and reward of the sunnah. Do you not see in this hadith how Rasulullah did not tolerate even a very slight change in the words of salam prescribed in the sunnah? Sahabi just said, alaykum salam. Rasulullah said, no, say, assalamu alaykum. An event concerning a sahabi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught one of his companions a dua. And this dua is a very important dua. It's a very lengthy dua. Inshallah, if Allah give us tawfiq, we will mention it. We will try and learn it and teach it. It is a dua that we should recite when we sleep at night. This should be the last dua that a person reads. So in this dua, the following words appear. It's not the entire dua. Amantu bi kitabika alladhi anzalta wa bi nabiyika alladhi arsalta. I believe in the book you have revealed and in the prophet that you have sent and in the messenger who you have sent. So after a few days, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked that sahabi to recite the dua that he had taught him. The sahabi recited the dua with a slight change in it. And if you look at the change, the meaning is, there's no difference in the meaning. Remember what Rasulullah taught him? Amantu bi kitabika alladhi anzalta wa bi nabiyika alladhi arsalta. That's all. So what the sahabi said, Amantu bi kitabika alladhi anzalta, and instead of saying wa bi nabiyika alladhi arsalta, he said wa bi rasulika alladhi arsalta, which means the same thing. When he said nabi, that was the word that was taught to him, and he said rasul. So in this dua, he substituted the word Nabi for the word Rasul. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the companion to recite the same words which he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taught him. Even though there was no real difference between the two words, Nabi and Rasul. Yes, there is a technical difference, academic discussion, but basically the meaning is still the same. He hasn't changed any meaning. Notwithstanding this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insisted on the companion to recite the exact words that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taught him. And from this we can understand that when we learn these du'as, learn the du'as exactly what comes in the kitabs, what is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those kitab, those words and du'as which are authentic, which are sabit, established by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many times people have mentioned different other du'as, meaning is perfect. There's nothing wrong in reading those du'as. Of course, if no special virtue has been mentioned and if those things are not found in hadith, then we can't just mention virtues to du'as because we saw in some kitab. It must be authentic kitabs. But try and learn the exact words that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us. He said, Hazrat Dr. Abdul Haysab rahmatullahi alayhi had mentioned, he used to advise, you shall experience a world of difference in the effect of doing something according to your own choice and doing the same thing according to the method taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the intention to follow his sunnah. You shall experience a world of difference in the effect, in the athar of doing something according to your own choice and doing the same thing according to the method taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The light and blessing accruing to you in doing something according to the sunnah will not accrue to you if you do not do it, do that according, if you do that according to your own way and your own choice. It occurs in the hadith that Rasulullah used to make rounds. He should go in the night for gasht, and he would check the conditions of the people living in Madina Munawwara. He would look, check on the Sahaba. On one such night, when Rasulullah passed by the house of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he had made out that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was offering tahajjud salat. And he was reciting Quran in a very soft, a very low voice. Then he passed by the house of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and he was also performing tahajjud salat, but he was reciting Quran in a loud voice. In the morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent for both of them. First he asked Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, why he was reciting Quran Sharif in a low voice. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala said, أَسْمَعْتُ مَنْ نَاجَيْتُ. The person who I was talking to, I made him hear. I didn't have to say, read in a very loud voice. Allah was hearing me. So I used a soft voice, low voice. Who I was talking to, that person was listening to me. And then Rasulullah asked Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, why he was reciting the Quran so loudly. So he said, I was reading it to awaken those who are sleeping now for tahajjud, family people, and driving away shaitan. He said Quran aloud, shaitan runs away from there. So both have given very good answers. After listening to the replies of both, Rasulullah then he advised in the following way, he said, he told Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, irfa qaleelan, that raise your voice a little more. It was a bit soft, a little more you must raise your voice. And then he told Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, that you must lower your voice a little. So one he told, now you must raise your voice, and the other one he told him to lower his voice. Commentating on the interpretation of this hadith, the commentators have written that it was the intention of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make both these companions act upon the verse of the Quran, وَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ وَلَا تُخَافِتْ بِهَا وَابْتَغِي بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not recite with a very loud voice in your worship, nor should it be very, very soft, but it should be a moderate voice between both. In other words, we have been commanded in this verse to follow a middle course in reciting the Quran Sharif in our salat. Speaking on this topic, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah said, apart from what has been stated above, there is great wisdom in the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The intention was to tell both these companions that so far they were following a way of reciting the Quran according to their own choice. The way they were to follow in future would be the way taught to them by Rasulullah SAW, and that is the sunnah. This would bestow upon them the light, the nur, and blessings of following the sunnah. And it will give them the reward of sunnah. This hadith teaches us to take into mind carefully that when we commence any work, we should follow the way taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should adopt this way and should adopt where necessary the same words and expressions as taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not enough to undertake some work with the intention that it has to be done in this way or that way as we like. And if you remember, we had mentioned one malfooz of one of our akabir some time back, that any action a person does, for the acceptance of that action, there are two important conditions. Any action in Shari'at, any good deed we do, there are two important things, two conditions. Firstly, we should have ikhlas. We must do it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for show, not for ostentation, only for Allah. And second thing, it must be in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So sometimes the deed is very good and we want to bring the deed into our life, but it is not the way Rasulullah SAW had done it. So the person, that action is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. You have to make ittiba' of Rasulullah SAW, to follow his way of life. And that is the akmal, ajmal, asal. That is the perfect way. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of following the sunnah of Rasulullah SAW. So we had mentioned this, the advices that Rasul gave the Sahabi, we haven't mentioned as yet. We haven't discussed it. This is just the prelude when he met Rasulullah ﷺ, and just on salam, this entire discussion had taken place. So as Jabir bin Sulaym, this is the Sahabi, radiallahu ta'ala, has narrated that when Rasulullah ﷺ taught him the way of making salam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Rasulullah if he was the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah replied to this question saying, I am a messenger of that Allah, that if some harm befalls you and you make dua to him, you supplicate to him, Allah shall relieve you of that harm. During the pre-Islamic days, the days of Jahiliyyah, people worshipped idols as their gods. They had, however, a good quality in them that when they were faced with some pain, some adversity, some distress, then they would only call Allah for help then. When pain came to them, they would immediately make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran says, فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعْوُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. The whole scene is given that they are traveling in a ship and suddenly there's a storm and the ship is about to sink. At that time they will pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will promise Allah that they only believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they'll only worship Him. But the moment they are saved and they come back to shore, then they start making shirk again. In other words, when these mushrikeen get on board a ship and their ships were caught in the storms and they found no way out, they forgot the idols, Lat, Uzza, Manat. At such a critical moment of danger, they turned only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and safety. In this hadith, Rasulullah has said that He was a messenger of that Allah who, when any harm would come upon any person and he makes dua to that Allah, then Allah relieves him, Allah removes that pain. And so he was not a messenger of false gods. He was not a messenger of idols. He said, I am the messenger of that Allah when there is drought and famine. And you call unto him, then Allah removes the drought. And Allah gives you rain, and Allah causes the crops to grow. And he said, I am that messenger, I'm the messenger of that Allah, that when you are traveling in a desolate place, in a desert, and your camel strays, and you make dua to him, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah responds by giving you back your camel. So these are things that Rasulullah s.a.w. very simply mentioned to this sahabi. He said, thereafter, Hazrat Jabir bin Sulaym radiallahu anhu, made salam, Rasulullah explained this to him. Immediately, what did he do? He asked Rasulullah for some advice. And as Mufti Taqi Sahib said, we should seek advice from our seniors. He said, that is why the mashayikh have taught us this principle, that if anyone calls upon some senior person, particularly one who is well-versed in religious matters, he should seek some advice from that person. Sometimes the advice is very effective, and which brings a change in the spiritual trend and direction of the heart, and it brings a total transformation in the person. The reason for this is not far to seek. When a man seeks advice with genuine sincerity, Allah Ta'ala guides. Allah guides the person who is asked, this pious person, to give such an advice to this person who has requested advice is going to be befitting and suitable for him. Remember that it is not the saint or the sheikh himself who has the capacity to render real help to anyone. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the ultimate source and fountain of all khair and goodness. However, when a person has this genuine sincerity in him, and he's sincere, he's seeking advice, then Allah ta'ala makes that advice come onto the tongue of that sheikh or that pious person or that alim. This is going to be beneficial to the person. We find that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when they asked advice, they didn't just ask, Hazrat kud nasihat farma, just give us some advice, without having that firm intention of practicing upon that advice. We have that bad habit, we meet some buzruk, we met him now because he made salams. Hazrat kud nasihat. We just ask him, Hazrat nasihat. We just ask him for advice, but we are not genuine. Illa mashallah. We don't have the sincerity that whatever he is going to teach us from Quran and Hadith, we want to bring that into our lives. So let us not ask for the sake of just asking. Sahaba were genuine, they were serious, and you will find they would go to Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah, dullani ala amalin idha amiltuhu dakhaltul jannah. Ya Rasulullah, show me that action. If I practice upon it, I will gain Jannah. Show me that action, that if the sin, that I refrain from it, I will be safe from Jahannam. So the very first advice, we'll only mention the first advice today, inshallah, and if Allah give us tawfiq, we'll continue next week. The first advice, Rasulullah told him, لا تسبن أحدا. Do not abuse any person. Do not sway any person. Do not use any harsh, vulgar language, abusive language to any person. It is an advice to refrain from uttering any such words or phrases that causes any abuse to any person. So Rasulullah says, do not speak ill of any person. He says, this is the advice that Rasulullah gave the Sahabi on the very first meeting with him. The first time he's meeting him, and this is the first advice, لا تسبن أحدًا. This shows how important it is not to utter words that hurt the feelings of others. A Muslim should not therefore commit the grievous sin of causing pain to any other person's heart by uttering abusive words. Once Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu became angry with his slave, and he uttered some words of abuse or curse. On hearing these words, Rasulullah objected, and he said, La'aneen wa Siddiqeen, Kalla wa Rabbil Kaaba. It is not possible by the Lord of the Kaaba that a man curses also, and at the same time he is Siddiq, he is truthful. Can't happen. If a person is Siddiq, he is so true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is genuinely the title of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. But if you got that quality, then you shouldn't be a person who curses others. So see how sternly Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, made Islam. And in this matter, and he taught him what was wrong in his path. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala immediately asked for forgiveness, and he set that slave free. Gave him his freedom. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala acted on this advice throughout his life. It is therefore not right to utter abusive words for anyone. Nowadays, people have become used to uttering abusive words to the workers, to the students. Allah forgive us. We also sometimes use a harsh word, and therefore we ask the students for maaf immediately. Or when Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq, we say, "Bhai, forgive me. I used the wrong word. I shouldn't have said that." And very important, especially if a person is from Medina or if he's a Sayyid, we should be even more careful what words we are addressing him with. So as the Jabir radiallahu anhu told him that don't sway any person, he says, from that very day I did not sway any person. Whether he was a free man, whether he was a slave, whether it was a ba'ir, a camel, or whether it was a donkey or any other animal. So after hearing this advice, he said, I never used abusive words either for a slave or a free man, or for any animal like a camel or a goat. These were the noble companions of Rasulullah who took these advices seriously to their hearts. And when they heard any word of advice, they brought it into their routine, into their life as long as they lived. The Mufti Sahib says, hate the sinner, hate the sin, not the sinner. Hate the sin and not the sinner. We do it the other way, we hate the sinner. Sharia tells us we should hate the sin. Detest the sin, not the sinner. This advice has another important aspect in its meaning. You are advised not to sway any person, not to hate any person, not to condemn any man, however great a sinner he may be, how disobedient he may be, how evil he may be. So you must not hate and condemn him. You do not know what is going to happen to him in the future. It is quite possible Allah Ta'ala may guide him and put him on the path of taqwa and righteousness before his death. He may make tawbah, repent, and he may give up this sin. And it is quite possible that after death he may appear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a fully pardoned and purified servant. It is therefore imperative that you should not look down upon anyone, not even an unbeliever. Who knows if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may convert that unbeliever into a believer, and he may become a better Muslim than you are. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned, al-ibratu bil-khawatim, that it is the end And the final fate that matters, that is, if a sinner and a disobedient man dies as a believer, he dies as a believer and a righteous person, he made tawbah, then he becomes the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will be raised in the day of Qiyamah as a person who was righteous and pious. So, how you pass away your end, that is how you will be raised on the day of Qiyamah. Inshallah, we'll continue next week. If Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Still continuing the first advice, and al-ibratu bil-khawatim, that how a person dies, that is what the judgment is given on the day of Qiyamah. He dies as a believer, he'll be raised on the day of Qiyamah as a believer. If he dies as a disbeliever, then on the day of Qiyamah he will rise before Allah Ta'ala as a disbeliever. May Allah Ta'ala save us, may Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. The first advice, of course, besides the salam part, the first advice Rasul gave him, لا تسبن أحدا, don't be vulgar to any person. May Allah give us the tawfiq of making amal on this. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.